Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
And you're listening to Lead Rambo Rufflecopter here on Joy 94.9 with Moggy, and joining me is Catton. Say hi.
Yeah!
And for the very first time, the lovely Rob, who is also from America.
Hi there, Australia.
Yeah!
It's yank on yank action.
Woo! Well, I like the pole and she likes the hole, but...
It's the diversity that brings us together. Because after all, that's our motto at Joy. Joy is diversity.
So, well, three cheers for Joy.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Hooray.
So, okay, I'm not sharing again.
Do you want to talk a bit about yourself, since you're the virgin around here?
Well, I am from Seattle. I work for one of the big video game companies. I'm a worker in that field. I enjoy really dorky games. American Idol is currently on top of my Xbox, and I'm pretty good at it, so I'm gonna keep being a dork.
So you like to belt out a couple of lines of karaoke once in a while?
That is definitely one of my talents. But, you know, I don't know if you've played this game. The fun part of it for me is seeing the hosts, you know, Simon Cowell and Paula and Randy, because they've got these ridiculous recorded phrases where they, you know, applaud you if you manage to sing particularly well, or, you know, Simon will insult you if you don't. And it's really easy to manipulate you don't actually have to sing it well, you just have to sort of hum a weird little pitch, and as long as you're matching that weird little hum, you don't even have to sing the words. So you can totally get away with like scoring perfect on these songs if you have zero singing ability at all.
So it's more about just being drunk and doing all sorts of wild, pretty crazy stuff.
Isn't that what karaoke is all about? Getting drunk, making an ass of yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, for what it's worth, when I go to karaoke, I usually just have soda, but...
Good boy.
I don't need to be drunk to do it. I just love the soda.
I have soda with spice.
I just had a lemon lime.
A little extra thrown in there.
So, I don't think we ever got the Karaoke Revolution games here in Australia, which is kind of sad.
Do you get the singing games?
You know, I will say...
Ooh, sorry. Oh.
SingStar was quite gangbusters.
Oh, no, I was... Well, have you got Rock Band down there?
We got it a year after everybody. When Rock Band 2 came out, Rock Band 1 was out.
Right. Mm. That's, the games that are letting people sit in their living room and just play in a sort of not competitive way with, like, you know, with your mom, with, you know, just with your girlfriend, with whatever, you know, people who aren't normally gamers. That type of game has been really huge for, you know, for all the different platforms, but Xbox has really hit it hard with the Rock Band stuff. I was at a party with, you know, with my family. We had my grandma there playing the drums, and my mom was singing into the mic, and, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, it's something that really brought the family together, and a lot of that, you know, a lot of what the gaming industry is trying to do is reach out to people who don't normally buy video games, and they're trying to figure out new ways of accomplishing that. So it's kind of an exciting time to be a gamer.
Speaking of Rock Band, have you heard the spin-off that they're creating for the PSP?
No.
It's it's called Rock Band Unplugged. It's essentially going to be, it's going to have no parapsels, so you're not going to pay any extra money for it. it will actually incorporate DLC into it, which you pay for new songs and such. That's pretty much all they've talked about so far. So it'll be quite interesting to see how that turns out, and if it's actually good at all.
I'm having visions of, what was it, Parappa the Rapper? The PSP. Just like except paying for the songs.
Are either of you PC gamers?
Sometimes.
Yeah, not so much anymore.
There's, if you can get the Steam client, which runs a number of different games, but one of their more fun ones is one called Audio Surf, which is just brilliant. It takes your existing music library and it'll build these roller coaster tracks that you can navigate, build up points, smashing blocks and whatever. It's great. It's like a cross between Tetris and Guitar Hero. It's a lot of fun. And since it uses entirely your own soundtrack, it's cool. You should check it out.
Okay, will do.
There's also other games that Harmonix have made that people were saying that this might be just a Rock Band Eyes version of. Like Frequency, I think, was another one, and Amplitude, which are both the same game, but they're both sequels to each other.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with those titles.
Well, it's definitely to keep an eye out. Like, I have faith in Harmonix, because they haven't gone the Activision route with their games yet. And just gone, they haven't gone, like, the super special awesome edition. We're just going to pack everything together. But yeah, they love the music, so most of them actually come from music backgrounds as well.
Oh, I'm sitting here nodding my head and realizing you probably can't hear me that.
Yeah, because we have the magical medium of radio.
I'm like, yeah, that's interesting.
I think we've milked that dry, so let's go on to another topic. And actually, I was talking
That's what she said. Okay.
I was talking about this last week on the show, but and I was just talking about this to you just recently, Rob, about the lesbian that got banned from Xbox Live.
Well, suspended, reportedly, but continue.
Basically, as you were saying before, I was talking to you about it before, she hasn't really come forward. She's just basically...
We know her basically by her name, Teresa. She had apparently spoken to someone at the blog Consumerist and had complained that she was suspended for including the mention that she was a lesbian in her profile on her gamer tag. And among other things, the head of Xbox Live policy has repeatedly requested that she basically get in touch with him so that he can talk to her and get more information about the case, because no one seems to have any idea who this person is. This is a guy, he was on Major Nelson's latest podcast. He's a pretty stand-up guy, and he's, sincerely asking her, please come forward. It's been a week now and nothing. I kind of think the story is bogus.
I know, it's caused quite a bit of controversy over the blogs, like especially GayGamer.net, which last year there was another big controversy with Live and another incident with a gay person being harassed. Do you remember that?
Yes.
The Halo thing?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And once again, it does bring up the issue of why is Microsoft putting up this giant blanket ban of pretty much the word gay or lesbian.
Yeah, Stephen Toulouse, who's the Xbox employee, who's like the head of Xbox Live policy, he has written a couple of blog entries about this. And as I said, he was on Major Nelson's show, steptoe.com, if you want to divert your listeners there. You can read sort of the official Microsoft take on the situation. But he also went on Major Nelson and he pretty much stated unambiguously that Xbox and Microsoft do take action on the harassers, that what they're doing by banning the use of that language was sort of banning the insulting use of that language. They did a count and they found that 95 to 98% of the time the word gay was used in chat, it was being used in a pejorative and insulting way. It wasn't used by someone self-identifying as, I'm a gay man, I'm a gay woman. So when they had that language ban in there, they really sort of wanted to prevent the harassment of any users, because they didn't want people who were gay and lesbian to feel threatened or harassed by the use of that language. And, when they're trying to sit down and enjoy their games. You know, everyone has a right to, everyone has a right to equal access. So that's, that's kind of where the Microsoft angle is coming in at it, saying, no, this wasn't written to be, to be bigoted against gays and lesbians. And in fact, if, people use the words straight or heterosexual in their profiles, we take those out as well. And they're looking at, revising and, taking that policy and letting people express who they are without having that being able to be used against them, and having, so that someone can self-identify as being gay or straight or bisexual or transgendered and have it not be something that is turned around and used as an insult, when you're playing Halo with a couple of 11-year-olds. I mean, come on, that's where all this trash talk is coming from, is, immature little preteens, and it is what it is. You have to save the users from themselves. So.
Well, do you remember that incident? I think it was a few months back where this guy, his name was something Gaywood or something, and he basically got
Richard
banned.
Gaywood, I think. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was like Richard Gaywood. Like, you couldn't make this name up. Yeah. Who names their kid Dick Gaywood? That's just wrong.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe it's like the whole Peggy
Sue
thing.
And he wasn't allowed to use his last name as his gamer tag, and he was apparently all in a tizzy about that. And they basically took him aside and said, look, this is why we have this policy, and we know you're upset, but it's not,
Man, that's a sad thing.
It's not meant to be abusive.
And that's a sad thing. We don't live in a perfect world where we can all just be harmonious and love each other. We unfortunately have haters. Unfortunately, we do need these rules. Even though they're just plain red tape, we do need them.
In a perfect world, people would police themselves, and you wouldn't get, 12-year-olds who think it's funny to call people fags. In a perfect world, that's not the world that we live in. And really, with what we've seen with all of this, these massively multiplayer situations, you have no idea who you're playing against. You really don't know. And, that's really cool and exciting in a lot of ways. You're meeting all sorts of people from around the world, and there's a thrill to it. But at the same time, you have to remember that, people are fundamentally different, and that people live their lives in ways that are, like, shocking and horrifying, to contemplate. For us, for them, it's completely normal. And completely vice versa.
Well, do you think that sexuality does belong in a virtual world?
Which virtual world? I'm being dead serious. I think there are some virtual worlds where where sexual expression is part of the, part of the terrain. Azeroth, for example. I mean, not to go jumping on the WoW wagon, but this is a world where sexuality is a part of the quests that you undertake. It's a part of the character design, and to disallow people from expressing their sexuality in a world like that, that I think is unacceptable. In a game like Katamari, I mean, come on, there's super rainbow and all, but that's not really a game that's rife with sexual content.
So you're saying it's okay given a certain context, as long absolutely. As people know what they're
and
getting
context,
into.
That is absolutely important. I mean, right. Context is so important, and that's what Steven Sluice was saying. He said this again on Major Nelson, and he mentioned it in his blog, that voice chat, you can't put I'm a gay woman in your profile. But if you're in voice chat and people are having a conversation and there's some context to it, and you're like, yeah, I'm a lesbian, nobody's gonna police what you say, and nobody's gonna try to ban you from the service or anything like that. Context is everything.
I always get mistaken for the 12-year-old boy.
The Katie Lang
also
syndrome.
Have a very strong presence.
When I was 12, I would answer the phone, and people would think I was my mother. So that was often embarrassing, especially when it was my grandmother on the other end of the line.
Oh my!
good times.
Well, the simple solution to it all is just don't play with other people or people that are going to be wankers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's absolutely true. There are ways that you can mute other players. There are ways that you can prevent other players from ever joining up with you again. There's I think most, live enabled games have like a ban or avoid, some sort of frowny face feature. It's not that hard. If somebody is harassing you and giving you a hard time, don't play with them anymore. there are there are 17 million Xbox Live users. Seriously, find somebody else to play with.
And always, your friends list is always a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable giving out your game tags?
If you just sure.
Yeah. Okay. My gamer tag is K Crawford, K-C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D.
Okay. My gamer tag is Grammar Cub. It's G-R-A-M-M-A-R-C-U-B.
Grammar Cub.
Do you think anybody will pick up on that?
No answer. Wonderful. What about you, Maggie?
Mine is Blue's Umbrellas. Blue as in B-L-U-E, and then Blue a space, and then Zumbrellas with a Z-U-M-B-R-E-L-L-A-S.
Are you going to let everyone know why it's Zumbrellas?
It was originally meant to be Blue Umbrellas, because I was going through a Tori Amos period, where one of the lyrics was... Blue Umbrella smiling, so I thought, blue umbrellas.
I never was a cornflake girl. Is it just like this rite of passage where like every homo has to go through this like Tori Amos period?
Absolutely.
Seriously, it's like clockwork, like from 17 to 19, it just hits. Like 6 months of your life, you will never get back.
Actually, have you seen that comic collection?
That's a comic book tattoo.
Yes, I wanted to get it, but not at $70.
You know what? I'll send you one for your birthday. Hooray. I'll get you a nice hardcover edition. Yeah. I have the hardcover, and it's gigantic, but wonderful.
Did I actually follow any of the songs, or is it very loose?
So well,
there's adventures about cornflake girls and such.
It's not so literal.
I've got her best of collection, which is Tales of a Librarian, which I find that a really peculiar title for like a best of CD, but yeah.
And it's actually funny, in that booklet she actually has all her songs categorized by the Dewey Decimal System.
Yes. but again, it's just her album titles are so obscure. I mean, Boys for Pele, American Doll Posse, like The Beekeeper, like what is she thinking when she titles for albums? These are not like grabby titles. These are not things that jump off the shelf and say, ooh, must buy. So I always wonder what her thought process is when she's like picking the album title.
Who knows what she's thinking these days? Like with American Doll Posse, like 16, or I think it was like 8 or 10 different versions of herself on the album. She's kind of got...
No, that was Strange Little Girl.
No, she actually did again, this time with
Okay.
She's kind of gone...
Strange Little Girls, I actually liked quite a bit, and I really loved all the cover photos that she took for that. The American Doll Posse, I've got the cover that's got, like, three of her on the front.
Yeah, there's supposed to be different versions of her, like a 16-year-old slut version of her, American Fighter version of her. It's all weird. She's kind of gone all Bjork.
I just bought the album, like, digitally, so I didn't get, like, if there was more photography to it than the three hers that I saw on the cover.
And apparently
there's like one version of her, she's like holding a chicken. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
you can edit all this.
I think each song is basically a version of her, or is a new version of her, which is, bizarre.
Wait, my favorite one is Fat Slut, which I just... It's like 42 seconds long. It's like, I think it's just a complete joke track, but it's just hilarious. So, Fat Slut.
But anyway, let's get back to the geeky things.
Yeah, how about we have a bit of a break? And
Watchmen.
Oh my God, yes. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I haven't read Watchmen before. I'm a bad geek.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You haven't read Watchmen?
No, I haven't. I've only recently gone to comics, so yeah, I'm gonna have to do some reading.
Watchmen up. Yeah.
We're just
Watchmen is an absolute must. Yeah.
What do you mean you haven't read it?
I feel ashamed.
I've got my copy of it actually sitting right here. I've been trying to read it again before the movie comes out, because I, you know.
So you can be that person.
Hello.
That didn't happen.
I'm such a superhero like fetishist. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I'm thrilled to death to see how they're gonna put this on the big screen, because the cool thing about Watchmen is like a novel is that it had all these big ideas in it, and it used the comic book medium as a way to sort of express these like big massive ideas about, you know, fear and paranoia and like xenophobia and like, you know, rage, and I mean like everything that the novel is about. Mm-hmm. And I really want to see like what a visual director can put on the screen and still get those ideas across. That was what was so brilliant about like Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, is that these were superhero movies that were not just about the gadgets, but they were about, you know, these really sort of heavy themes, you know. the loss of your father and, you know, your parents, and, you know, trying to struggle against the system, and, you know, all those, you know, that's why those movies were so good, because they were about things.
Yay for things.
I'm completely inarticulate right now, and that's unfortunate, but what can I say? It's late.
You've done well. I think you've done really well. Really, no, really.
Yeah, let's have a little break, shall we?
A little break.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. Break time.
And pause.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
And we're back, and if you're just listening for the first time, and or which you probably shouldn't be if you're listening to on the podcast. Yeah, I'm with Rob from and Kat, and both from America.
Yay!
America! F yeah!
Ooh!
Yeah!
Did you just say America? F yeah!
Yeah!
OMG!
I got nothing.
How about we talk about a game that you've been playing, Kat, and Nobby Nobby Boy. I've been watching videos of this on YouTube, and I don't understand what the hell is going on.
You know, I've actually been playing it, and I don't know what the hell is going on.
Penny Arcade did a strip on it.
Is this really?
The Ethereum Rectum thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, well, Penny Arcade did it, I think, or one of the webcomics did, but...
You eat your own ass if you get cut up, don't you?
I haven't gotten to that point yet, because I can't really figure out what I'm doing. And I'm really used to having a more structured environment when I play games. At least, you know, there's more, tangible goal, I guess is the word I would use. So I went through the tutorial, and I stretched. And then I floated a little bit, and I stretched some more. And then it just kind of let me on my own, and you go to these different maps, which are just giant squares filled with things, and it was probably about the sixth or seventh square where I realized I could eat things, and my boy is huge, right? I've, like, taken it up and around the donuts up top and through, like, some buildings, and then I end up eating this little person, and you can see the bump traveling through your boy. Or, you know, the next 15 seconds or however long it takes to get through your gigantic boy. And, you know, I still don't quite understand what I'm doing. I understand I have to stretch to help girl get to wherever the hell she's going. But really, you just sit there and
so
really
what is,
choose
is it like...
the map. So you just kind of go to map to map and you stretch.
And
is it like Centipede, like Beats Katamari? Yeah. Is that is like you just like getting longer and eating more and like... Are you trying to outrun something or get to a different level?
No, you can actually just go to another level whenever you want. Right, so, and I don't think you necessarily have to eat something, it's just something you can do.
He didn't even know what he wanted for the, with the project. He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna put a whole bunch of stuff together and you figure out what to do.
Which... I like the whole sandbox idea to a certain extent, but yeah, this game, I was like, okay, it's from the guys that did Katamari, and it's only $5. Sure, I'll buy it. No big deal. And then I started playing, and I'm like, I can't tell if I'm having fun or not yet. because I don't know how to gauge my success. You know?
That's kind of kiss of death, isn't it?
I like it when I do well in games.
Fun.
Right. So it's been an interesting experience, and I had read a review where someone had said, as long as you realize it's not a game that, you know, you have to, like, work towards a goal, and you just kind of do things because maybe you can, it becomes more fun. And I don't know if I can get to that point while playing a game. It's just, you stretch.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to stop you from stretching. You don't have, like, a time to stretch a certain amount. You just like, stretch at your leisure.
Yeah, that seems an awful lot like playing Myst, because you can make the bookshelf go up and down. I mean, it's like, games should have an object, like a point that you're working toward. It's just about the fun, you know, frills.
Right. So, that's my little take on the game.
Hooray. This seems to be
only $5.
Yeah, that's, I think for what you've described, that sounds pretty fair. There seems to be quite a spate of games that aren't actually games. I think Nintendo started the whole fad. God damn them.
Yeah, I kind of like games that are games. It doesn't help when I just sit there and think, okay, now what do I do? Well, I guess I'll come over to this side of the map. Okay, I'm on this side of the map. Now what do I do? Well, maybe I can be on this side of the map and that side of the map. Okay, now what do I do? I mean, you're just really left up to your own devices to do whatever you can in the game, but there's really no way to...
But what about games what about games like GTA, where you do have a structured thing, but you just bugger that, and it's like kind of like the opposite, where it's encouraging you to do this, to go on this straight path, but you just want to fuck around and play it and do whatever you want. It's kind of that bizarre paradox.
Yeah, I'd like a
sandbox level of freedom, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying, I do like that level of freedom, like in GTA, where I can run around and do whatever. It's like, oh, I need new clothes. I think I'll go rob someone today. But at the same time, when you actually, you know, want to have a more structured environment, it's there for you. And what were you saying, Rob?
Oh, I'm just saying, you know, sandbox games, open-ended games, I think this is... been proven time and again that people love games like this. You know, this is why the most popular, you know, online game, World of Warcraft, where, you know, really you have dozens of different, you know, directions that you can take. You're never pinned down in the same location for very long. Bully was a huge seller. The Grand Theft Auto series, you know, huge sellers. People like games that let you pick what you want to do.
I agree. It's nice to not be completely tied down to a totally linear structure.
For sure.
But I also want some structure. I can't be flailing on my own. I some people might, but I am definitely not that person.
Sort of like how Persona 4 does it.
I'm sorry?
Sort of like how Persona 4 does it, with where basically you can just stick around, wherever, do whatever you want, go into a dungeon whenever you need to. But you've got a strict time limit in which to manage that. You're given freedom, but a strict limit.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love that. I mean, it's like, okay, today I think I'll eat ramen and read a book. And tomorrow I'll study and maybe I'll go slay some demons. You know, it's a contained open environment.
Games with time limits drive me crazy, though, because I'm always so slow. Like, I'll figure something out. But I just, if I'm seeing like a 5-minute clock or something, I'm freaking out. I'm flailing. I have, you know, I really, really don't like strict time limits.
Well, the good thing with Persona 4 and Persona 3 is that it doesn't actually have strict time limits. It has segments of days, but within those segments of days, there's no actual time limit. So this is like morning, lunchtime, after school, and evening.
Right, you're permitted so many activities during those blocks of periods, so if you decided to spend 3 hours real-time shopping, it would still only be like 1 hour in-game. It's really nice.
I've always wondered that. I've always wondered in Persona 3 how they can basically dick around in a giant dungeon for like an hour. Because, I'm pretty sure they can only be in the dark hour for like, you know, an hour.
Right. Well, maybe it's some sort of weird, crazy parallel thing where everything slows down. Because, you know, everyone's in coffins. Hmm. All the people. And maybe it's one of those things where everything else is frozen in time except you.
Yay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Have you gotten much better in Persona 4?
No. You know what I started... So I have all these Nintendo DS games that I've been purchasing since I've had my DS, and I keep meaning to play, but I keep getting sidetracked by other games. So I finally decided to start The Legend of Zelda,
right.
Phantom Hourglass, which I've had since, well, probably it came out, so a very long time now.
Ooh, I get my copy of Advance Wars so we can play together when I get it.
Yay!
Because yeah, I had a hankering for it, and I had to sell it back a few months ago, and... I've been starting to miss some turn-based gaming for a while, so I thought, mm-hmm. I might as well just get Advanced Wars again.
You know, I still haven't played it yet. I don't remember what all the units do, so I have to brush up before you try and stop me.
I'll be gentle.
You'll be gentle. Is this where I say, "Don't hurt me, Daddy"?
Wow, and suddenly we've gone from PG-13 to NC-17.
And we'll just edit that out. I'm sorry, what?
Straight from T to A-O.
So anyway, yes, I've been playing The Legend of Zelda, and haven't really had a chance to do anything else. Except for a lot of Bejeweled 2 during classes.
You're another victim of Bejeweled.
Well, it's on my iPod. And
it's on everything.
It's small. Right, but it's small, and it's fairly inconspicuous in the classroom setting, so I can play it without...
Are you a college student?
Yes. Yes, okay. I am. For a little while longer, anyway.
I am done with college.
Woo.
Luckily, knowledge is power, but what I really need is mana. Sorry, nerd joke. Anyway...
Maybe Monkey can help you out with that.
I can cast a nausea, or in Asuna, or however they say it in Final Fantasy.
I used to work at this office with a manager who was just as big of a geek as I was, and if we were going into some meeting that we would go to, we'd always make a little joke and roll for initiative and.
You go first in the presentation. Ha!
That's right. That's right. I'd be like, yeah, but your charisma +7 today.
I wish I would apply. Well, if you don't go, I'll have a +8 kick your ass, so move it. Charisma +7. Oh my goodness.
You can always hold. You can always hold your action. I know, I haven't been playing as much as you guys. I know,
what have you been doing?
I know, nobody really
wants... The game I invested years of my life into role-playing, I mean, we're talking like 4 years out of my life, they don't even make it anymore. Like, not in the incarnation that I played it in. I was a Vampire the Masquerade storyteller. Like, yeah,
nerd.
Oh my god. Like, seriously.
Nerd.
My NPCs were leet to the max. I mean, it was just, no, I loved that game, and I sunk so much money into those books, and I mean, it was ridiculous. I had a stack of books and dice and notes and props. I mean, it was embarrassing. And they don't even make the game anymore.
No,
it's completely different. Yeah, well, a lot of it had to do with when those Underworld movies came out, mm-hmm. which like pretty much completely ripped off both the vampire and werewolf game lines that, you know, that White Wolf had put out. They really tried hard to revise the game so that you couldn't really make a movie out of it. And unfortunately, it just became not fun.
So, bummer.
Yeah. Because the new version of the game, the one that's selling now, just is not nearly as much fun as it used to be, which is unfortunate. So
yeah,
it's a loss to the gaming world.
I've been playing.
It's been happening a lot.
I've been playing a bit of 4th edition, which is quite nice. Actually, I think I don't know. I don't get why people are bitching, like particularly the more hardcore players of 3.5. Because I think I've read over the rules of 3.5, and I think that a lot of stuff that they've gotten rid of or changed is for the better. Like the whole spell thing, really shat me off in 3.5. I just like how it's a lot more simple. And if to be simple is a crime, then shoot me.
It is a gift to be simple.
Have any of you played 4th edition yet?
No. I seem to have a problem of finding a steady group of people to play with. And I would actually probably try and play Shadowrun before I pursued D&D 4th edition.
I think I'm 4th...
Because I really want to play it! But...
I think 4th edition is going to have a big giant revival next month. Or this month, actually, because I've... The second handbook comes out, which restores a lot of the old 3.5 classes and races and such.
Oh, really?
Like, it reintroduces bards and druids and monks.
Hooray!
Yeah, let's go to a break, shall we?
Break! Break!
Break!
Face?
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Do you want to talk about the Kindle next?
Okay.
Woo! Yeah. Must have.
Oh my god, I want one so effing bad.
Oh my god. I saw some lady on the bus. I just wanted to reach over and just touch it because it's so cool.
It looks like you could break it quite easily. It looks so thin that it looks like if you accidentally tripped over, you could just snap it in half.
You know, I'll bet it's a lot sturdier than it looks. I've got a little iPod Touch that's like nothing. I mean, it looks flimsy, but it's really durable. Mm-hmm. When they're making these consumer products right now, they know what type of user is going to be willing to pay $350 or $400 for a device like that, and they know that the type of user who's going to pay that much money is going to expect something that's going to stand up.
Right, and it looks like it has that the metal backing just like the iPods and iPhones do, so...
Yeah, the aluminum back.
I just don't really like the tiny keyboard at the bottom.
Kind of seems useless for a reading device.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. It just seems like it's taking up screen real estate, and you don't really need it there.
Yeah, I think possibly the next generation of the Kindle is going to have a touchpad like the iPhone or the iPod Touch has, which is a really cool way of inputting data. But I think the technology for that is really expensive, and it's just more cost effective to go with a physical keypad.
Right. But I don't have to like it.
That's true. But,
I still want one.
Yeah.
You can just type over it.
I mean, and I forget which, I read so many webcomics, and I forget which one, made this joke, but we are, the Kindle is the closest thing to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy that we've ever seen. You don't even need cell service, because if you buy one, you get this free, edge network to look up Wikipedia stuff on, to download books instantly at the time. I mean, this is the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's so cool. Get information on anything, read anything.
I bet it's going to come in handy for a lot of bar bets.
Yeah, you know what? I bet you're right.
Although it's really harder to hide a Kindle than it is to hide, your iPhone, so... I imagine a lot of fists flying your way if you try and use the Kindle.
Well, that's a valid point. There's already an iPhone. Is there actually a market for the Kindle?
I actually think there is, because there are several ebook readers out on the market, and if you look, there seem to be a lot of people that are purchasing them. I do know that the Kindle just released an app for the iPod Touches and the iPhones, where you can actually purchase things from the Kindle store, except newspapers and magazines, which is really nice because their books are only like $10.
Oh, yeah. Amazon's gotten really good at, pricing, for this, alternative distribution venues. Their unboxes, or their video on demand, I don't think it's called Unbox anymore, but it's competitive with iTunes. Their ebook prices, they've got audiobook downloads that are very competitive with, Audible.com and the other major audiobook retailers. I think that
isn't Audible a part of Amazon?
That's a good question.
Because you can, there's some audible support for the Kindle too.
That's a good question. I thought they were separate, but they, you know, it's highly possible that Amazon acquired them and I just, you know, blinked and missed it. I mean, you know, there's really the companies that are at the top of their field like that are all so incestuous anyway. Like, you know, yeah. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody, you know, I mean, everybody's working on similar versions of the same projects. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Incest is best. yeah.
I don't think that's promo
material. Inappropriate catchphrases for 1,000, Alex.
All right. But yeah, check out the Kindle app for the your iPod Touch. And when you actually buy a Kindle, you can bookmark pages. It'll, like, show where you stopped on one device, and it'll, like, sync it with your other device.
Oh, so have you seen the I think it, I don't think it's a pre-order, but I think it comes with every Kindle, but there's a book holder for it that actually makes it feel like a book.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have not seen this. Why have I not seen this?
Look it up on Amazon. It's quite new.
Oh yeah, it's on Amazon's product page. Yeah, it's about the same as like a, you know, like a Bible cover. I mean, it just, you know, it wraps around your Kindle and makes it look like a book from the outside.
So you can fool everyone else.
I'm reading a real book. No, it's a fake book. It's like the Victor Victoria of the electronics world.
Ha ha! I really love that you made a reference to Victor Victoria.
It's a real book impersonating an e-book impersonating a real book.
I think Sony has one of those. Yeah. One of those e-book, or an e-book masquerading in disguise.
A... a transgendered reading device.
I hate being so young.
It'll be a blessing when you're older.
Well, that's what I noticed. Everybody said, you hear all these old queens going, I wish I was so young, and then...
with a mimosa and cigarette in hand, I mean...
when I was your age. Yeah, yeah, Grandpa, dinosaurs still roam the earth, we get it.
Okay.
Ooh, have you, have you guys played Street Fighter 4 yet? We'll go onto a complete tangent.
No, I am so not into, like, fighting games.
I have purposely not purchased it because I know my life will cease to exist because I know it. And I will not emerge from my bedroom for several months if I were to purchase that game, so...
And then when you do come out, they'll release Turbo Edition.
Oh, God. I'll have spent, like, 3 months becoming the best, and next thing I know, there's another one out. But yeah... I can't say that I have, but I want to. I want to bad.
Are you one of those players that mashes buttons, or do you actually know all the combinations?
There is no room for button mashing in my life. I'm just going to be upfront about that. Although I can't say I can play. I play with every player. I'm not that versatile. I have my favorites, and I stick with it.
This conversation has taken such a dirty turn.
What?
You're talking about how there's no room for button mashing and how you're so versatile, and I'm just like,
I'm
wow.
Not versatile. Don't you? I am not that kind of girl.
Does your girlfriend listen to this show?
Yeah.
Teddy bears are shocked.
We'll just edit that part out, too. Okay, so, no, I haven't played Street Fighter 4. Thanks for asking. Let's move on to the next topic.
Yes, let's do it.
What else is there?
We'll go into our last topic then, because I think we've talked quite a lot. Our last topic is about what... There's all this... Well, a lot of people have been complaining recently about Resident Evil 5, how you can't run and shoot at the same time. I know, that's been one of the biggest complaints that people have been talking about, and it hasn't even come out yet. It's gone, oh, you can't run and shoot.
I mean, you know...
With a cigarette in hand. Sorry,
I'm
what?
Just... people will find an excuse to complain about anything, and the game hasn't even come out yet. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's a change, but maybe this is a change for the better. I mean, you don't know until you've actually played it. You know, it might make perfect sense in the, you know, in the new game, the physics of the new world, or however the setup is in this, you know, new version of Resident Evil. Maybe you're not supposed to run and shoot at the same time.
Well, it's supposed to create tension. Like, in real life, are you guys going to run and shoot? It's going to be pretty hard when you're, especially when you're carrying, like, a submachine gun or something like that.
I don't remember having a submachine gun in Resident Evil. What?
Well, I think...
I remember dying a lot. Like, ooh, yeah. a lot. Like, yeah.
But, you know, what I found in Resident Evil games, and a lot of these horror survival games, is I'm rarely running and shooting at the same time. I'm creeping with my gun held out for the slightest movement, yeah. So I can, you know, scream like a little schoolgirl and start popping off caps. I mean, that's usually what I do. And then I run away if there's too many.
All you're doing is you're trying to wheel around and target, and the stupid target thing doesn't work, and then you're trying to shoot, and then you die. And
you're like, the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you try to restart and then you die. Then you hand the controller to your boyfriend and you're like, finish it! Just make it work! And then you sit there and...
we really do need you. Do you think it's actually the control scheme that makes it scary, or just the aesthetics?
I don't think it's the control scheme that makes it scary. It's definitely the aesthetics. There are definitely things about being alone in a creepy area and not knowing when something is going to come at you, and it's that anticipation, because you know something's going to come at you, but you don't know when. That's really scary, because that happened to me a lot in Bioshock. It took me months to finish that game, because I could only play very small bits at a time, because there were these parts that were really, really creepy. And every little thing that jumped, I'd scream like a little schoolgirl and shoot it, and then realize it was already dead, you know? I mean,
I guess we're not going to be playing a game of Left 4 Dead anytime soon.
Oh, no. No. But we can try it. I mean, it'll be really funny if we did a show. In-game.
I was going, yeah, this game's... Oh.
You want to know what game I find really creepy? I mean, just Second Life. I mean, there's nothing weirder to me than people who spend time and actual money, like, developing their fake identical selves in, like, the fake economy. It's just weird to me. That's just weird.
Is it a little too escapist for you?
It's way too navel-gazing. It's meta-context without the context. It's just, it's just creepy.
Is it weird like that costume I showed you?
Oh my god. Kind of. I bet he does play Second Life.
I don't choose anyone that looks even remotely like you. you should put that picture up as like you should link to the picture on your website.
That'd be the header image.
Oh my god, title it Flat Fat Slut.
Yeah, she never was a cornflake girl. She was a bacon and eggs and sausage and pancake girl. That's what that's what made her the fat slut.
Check.
Have we sufficiently discussed all of your issues?
Yes, I think we have. I think, yeah.
And now you'll try to edit this into something coherent, and you'll be like, I am so never happy to do this show ever again. I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't know if this is as bad as when Jack was on.
Oh, he rambled a lot. Yeah. He rambled a lot.
I think I've shown you pictures of Jack.
Well, that was live, right?
Yeah, that was when I was going live. I was going blah, 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 yeah. Blah, blah, and then Jack was going, ooh, something else, or ooh, something pretty over there.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, you get to edit it down so you can make it as tight as you want it.
I'm sorry, what?
Button mashing.
Maybe I should
You're
just
so
put
much more versatile than I am.
Maybe I should just put this at the end of the show as bloopers.
Oh god. Okay. I'm gonna stop the recording then.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye. Alrighty.
Thanks for coming on the show.
So we're all good to go. All right.
Actually, it was nice to meet you, Rob.
Yeah. Actually, we should probably do some formal outros or something. You know, like,
what are you gonna...
Like, say, oh, thanks for coming. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, you're gonna have to record that. Mine's saving.
Yeah, I'm recording right now. So, okay. I also recorded all the bit where our little talky bits.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Yeah. You can put those in the podcast. Oh, my God.
What now? What?
Thank you to Rob and Catton for joining me.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it was fun. Very fun. We shall hopefully do it again sometime. And we've also got a new website, which is HTTP, Lead to Rainbow, W. What's that little thing, those little two circle thingies? A colon, that's right.
A colon. Oh, you just say leadrainbowrufflecopter.com.
Yeah, leadrainbowrufflecopter.com, and it's spelled phonetically, except for the ruffle bit. Because we roll that way. And
Yeah.
We're gangster. No. Anyway,
Yo. I'm sorry, what?
And you can also find us on iTunes if you dare want to listen again. Just look for Joy94.9 and then in brackets, Lead Rainbow Rufflecopter, spelt with free this time. So yeah.
Yeah,
so until next week, peace out.
Bye.
If I spell, I'm like, okay, yay, station identification, woo! You're listening to Lead Rainbow Rufflecopter.
Oh my God, you're so butch.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.